Electric Boogaloo! All right, we are so lucky because we are moving on. Episode 2 of Nerds, Jocks, and Preppies is in the house. I am 8th Dan, Stan Adu, at your service, and I am super happy to be joined by my good friends, Jim.
Happy to be here.
All right, Nick.
Greetings and salutations.
And finally, Blackjack.
Sup, man? I don't know that I'm comfortable yet calling you a friend.
That's totally fair.
Associate?
Podner?
Could live with that, yeah.
All right. Well, I know. Podner.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, I know that I like Brad more than you. But that's also because he's not here. Oh, big surprise. Sigh.
Yeah, this is my surprise face.
That son of a bitch owes me money.
Oh. Oh,
that's why he's not here.
That's why he's not turning up.
Is it the bet that you made over this current movie that we are about to chat about?
I always bet on tennis.
Oh, yeah. Nothing beats tennis, man. Because when I think about tennis, what do I think about? I think about jocks. And jocks is what this movie is called.
I've got a great place to start with this movie.
Well, we got
Okay. Yeah. No. Do your thing.
Yeah. We haven't heard from.
We haven't had the Nick soapboxer or whatever it's called. Soapbox. That we called it in the first episode and haven't called it since. We haven't. Had that yet.
But Nick's done a great job of downloading, giving us the download on the movie. So that's all we're looking for.
Jocks. Well, you know what? It's a movie we saw. In this movie, we have a good tennis team and a bad tennis team. And for some reason that I can't quite fathom, the good tennis team has to quit if they lose the big tournament in Vegas.
I don't think that's at all. That's did anybody else? I mean, I don't get me wrong. I was confused watching this movie, but I don't think that's at all the actual plot, is it?
Oh, sorry. They get kicked out of college and lose their scholarships.
They lose their scholarships. Yes,
if they lose the big tennis tournament, which I didn't know was a thing. I also didn't know that tennis players were jocks, but I was confused a lot of this movie.
Clearly. It's the mid-80s. I think
there were a lot of liberties taken with the, you know, marketing of this film.
This is the Wikipedia, or not the Wikipedia, this is the IMDb description of this movie, and that probably sums it up pretty well. The coach of a college tennis team is given an ultimatum. Put together a winning team or else. Bam. That's it.
Yes. Now, I have several problems. One, the coach is not at all the main character of this movie. He's awesome.
You have Richard Roundtree in a movie. You'd think you'd use him more in like than one scene. I mean,
and two, at no time does he assemble a team.
No, that team is pre-assembled.
It's a pre-assembled team that needs to win because the dean wants a winner because they never win, and he wants a winner, and that the head of the
who plays the dean? Who plays the dean?
Christopher, the great Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee.
Yeah. Nobody can act with a baseball bat in their hands like Christopher Lee.
I would have
That first scene was spectacular.
Slumming like you wouldn't believe him. When we say Christopher Lee slumming, that's something.
Oh man, Christopher Lee did a lot of slumming for a while there.
The athletic director wants to get rid of the tennis team because he wants instead to put the money for scholarships and stuff towards football so they can have a winning football team.
Because that's a real sport, not tennis.
Yeah. Yeah. But in my world, I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with him. Like
Like, makes sense to me, right?
But somehow we're supposed to be offended and want to defend this tennis team. Who gives a fuck? And then because yeah, so instead if the tennis players win, then they cannot they can't be disbanded. They can't lose their scholarships or something because, you know, they won, which is good.
Well, the dean doesn't care who wins.
I mean, he just wants to win.
The dean wants a winning team, and this is like he's the one pushing that the tennis team should be where they put the money because they're actually winning.
Yeah,
which is raises a great deal of questions in my mind.
Yeah,
there's a sizable amount of questions raised by the idea that this has up till now been a winning team.
Well they do say that. They say, but we're winning, and I don't know what's going on.
they win because they're a collection of oddballs, and they manage to stay somewhat on top. I think the real thing that kind of threw me off over that whole opening scene was, well, really the entirety of it. It almost seems like every time the athletic director shows up, like I really didn't understand him. He wants to save his job desperately, but to do that, the tennis team needs to be good. Yet at the same time, he wants to sacrifice the tennis team, which it strikes me he's going to lose his job if he disbands the tennis team nothing wins.
You're trying to, the way you're, I'm offended that you're suggesting there may be a plot hole.
his motivations are complex.
I was actually wondering if the athletic director was added in after the movie was shot, because none of his stuff really makes sense. Because later in the movie, you have the whole blackmail angle going on, which I couldn't really figure what the bad thing was if it was released he was with a prostitute.
That's in the WTF moments that we'll get to, isn't it? Like, we want to go too early on that one.
Oh man, that's probably on all of our list twice.
So I've got a
scene are you talking about though?
I've got a broad question. So what sport do you think this was originally going to be before they rewrote it to be tennis?
I do not know what sport originally was going to be, but I will tell you this. Here's a nerd alert. Here's one of your facts, your trivia things. And I don't have many for this film, by the way.
Really?
No, hardly any.
That, but here's not a lot from the audio commentary.
The script was called Road Trip. Perhaps it was when they looked at it and filmed 40 minutes of people getting drunk in Vegas. They went, fuck, we need something else to make it a story.
That would explain a lot. Cause I was trying to imagine, okay, we're putting together a tennis movie. It's about a ragtag team that has been winning and they're going to a big competition. I think Donald Gibb is who we want to get onto this squad sell it.
Yeah. When you look at him, you think he has all the attributes of a star tennis player.
No question. It's tennis. Tennis is really about all power and no finesse.
Right? Oh, yeah.
That's the way tennis works. I'd like to
think Donald Gibb was playing the same character he played in Bloodsport in this movie. It's a prequel.
I like to think he's always playing the same character. That the character from Bloodsport, Revenge of the Nerds, and this are all the same character.
I think we need a fan edit of that.
I so badly want to get him in for an interview. Like, because he is the only good thing about this movie. Like,
and he's we have to start talking about him on Jocks. That's the first question. So, we're in Jocks.
There's almost no chance you remember shooting Jocks.
The part of the film where early on they meet him and his character's name is Ripper, and he's trying to pick up money off the ground because he's won at like the slots or the blackjacks, and there's old women or something like that, and he's like growling at them and stuff like that and chasing away these really old women and scaring them. That's tremendous stuff. That's great. That's great art right there. I love that.
Well, this is one of those. This is one of those wild moments where you have all of these actors. I mean, you know, several of them went on to like bigger roles. Several of them were of course in the death of their career for a little while. But like there's a lot of name actors in this, and I guess it's interesting because part of me feels like maybe that's a negative in this case, because I think when I go back to think about these, the more big name actors they have, the less likely it is to be the movie that I actually want to see. But there's no doubt in my mind that as I look at the poster for Jocks, when I was 14 years old, I absolutely would have wanted to see this movie because I would have looked at it and said, oh man, there looks like there's boobies in this movie. And I totally would have gotten it, and I totally would have been pissed off because, well, while there is a little bit of boobies, there's not a lot. And so this is absolutely one of those tease movies that you dig up when you're 14, 15 years old, and it's just like, oh no, how I wasted my hard-earned whatever money renting this VHS tape from Blockbuster. And it's...
This might as well be like a Scott Baio vehicle, really, for how risque it is most of the film.
They put a Playboy model. They have this Playboy model on the cover of the VHS and stuff like that, who's not in the movie, and a scene in the on the cover that in no way represents the movie. Like
it almost happens. Not quite.
Do we have more to say before we just go right into scoring this thing?
I'm actually just wondering what image would represent this movie accurately. There's nothing from this movie that I can imagine wanting to see on a cover that would make me rent it if you actually took stuff from the movie.
I think his beautiful blonde girlfriend from the beginning of the movie who cheers him on at practice and then is never shown again.
I know.
No, she's at the tournament.
The put her on the cover.
Yeah, she's at the tournament. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
She's just a friend, okay?
She's holding his hand.
There's so fucking much about this movie that just...
I honestly, it feels, and I know it was only written by one person, I'm using air quotes, but it's like, it feels to me, in this case, like it was written by about five or six different people who wrote five or six different movies, and then the one guy just jammed them all together without care for, oh, I don't know, like plot holes or... You know, story inconsistencies.
How dare you?
They had filmed half of it and then had to like add the tennis part to stretch it out to a movie. I think let's stick with that as a working theory.
Yeah, there is next to no question that you could easily see the most of the Las Vegas stuff doesn't actually have any other plot other than like, yeah, Vegas, baby.
Well, there's a lot of the competitions elements and the like. It's all very generic sports movie. And it just happens to be tennis. Like that's it. Really led me to think that this was like written as there's not a lot of. I mean, any team sport on it honestly would have worked. I mean, anything besides football that takes like a long time to play.
Although it's interesting because again, looking at the poster, that the change room there looks far more like it's the start of football as opposed to the start of tennis. That's for sure.
The sweaty locker room talk of tennis.
Nothing screams tennis like the sweaty locker room with the booze bottles in one of the lockers.
And hey, I know tennis was more popular then. They had more stars in America than they do now and that type of thing. But you still never think, when you think of a jock, you don't think of, and still when you watch this film, you're still not likely to think of a jock. Like,
It's hard to picture the degenerate hard partying tennis player.
There is a, well, that I can get. I mean, it's college. I'm sure that there's partying, and I mean, and again, I don't want to talk that there might be plot holes. I mean, I will not hear it.
But, all right, we're going into scoring.
But I do have to say there's a 1984 movie called Jocks out of Italy.
Yeah.
And it's about disco, as all good movies called Jocks would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That probably has as many jocks in it. This does. All right.
All right. We're into scoring. We rate, and if you are new to the show, we rate in five categories, none of which are objective quality. They're all about the fun and enjoyment of the movie. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
Wow. I didn't really enjoy the movie all that much, I'm afraid. But at the same time, it definitely seemed oddly wrong and schlocky, but I'm really I can't go high on this one. I'm going to have to go with a 2.
I understand what you're saying, but I disagree a little bit. I'm going to go as high as a 5 just for the marketing campaign or the marketing of the movie. The marketing is schlocky. The movie is, and I use the term loosely, movie.
It's a movie, and that technically it's a film.
I agree, it is in the format of a movie.
And it has a lot of stars in it. So absolutely. Yeah. If you enjoy watching Richard Roundtree, well then I absolutely recommend that you take the time to watch the 3 minutes of film that he's in. If you enjoy Christopher Lee, then...
Richard Roundtree, as you mentioned, he plays the... what do you call it? The teacher or the
tennis coach.
Yeah, no. And do you think he's just getting sick of that stereotypical casting?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, man, oh man, how many times can you play a tennis coach in your
career? How many times does Richard Roundtree have to play a tennis coach? When you think of a tennis coach, he's the guy you think of. Oh, Shaft.
You know, he could have been, you know, coaching like his daughter's high school tennis team, and they just stole the footage.
Could have.
I'm just saying it's a possibility that Richard Roundtree does not know he's in this movie.
That would actually be awesome. If he didn't quite realize that he was in the movie. I mean, I'm sure that he sleepwalked through it, but...
I'm sure he denies it.
Yeah, he is. It's hard to believe in that regard that they managed to find so many people, but they did.
Yeah, I mean, even the guy who's the athletic director there... He's a well-known Hollywood character actor.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, but he, you know, yeah, you wouldn't think it, but it's true.
All right, who's next on the scoring?
Jack had not actually given a score there.
I said 5.
No, Jack.
Oh, Jack. Nick said 5. Jack. And Jack
Nick said 5, and I have not scored it at all yet because I don't know what the fuck to score. let's go with a 2.
All right. Well, this is a tough one. I think it's like Stan was saying, it's you look at that boxing at the cup box cover and you would be wanting it to go further than it does. So I'm also only going to give it a 2.
Hey, here's the thing. When I say 2, it's this. We talk about schlock appeal. It's like this movie is just not good. This movie is not like schlock appeal means it's a movie that's not good and therefore we enjoy it. This one is just not good, and it's tough to enjoy.
there's times you like. There's absolutely times where I feel like you are close. Like, I'll be honest.
But every time Ripper's on screen, yes.
Yes, but you know, there's moments where the kid is okay, where like that kind of character, it's just like, oh, you know, I'm a little bit of a fuck up, you know, but then I start getting hot and stuff like that. And you have those moments where you think, like, when they're in the bar and you do actually finally get the get the boobies and stuff like that, then it's like, oh, okay, this is all right. The problem is that there's too much of the not all right that really that really hurts.
I don't think we have hit this yet. Why haven't we hit the fact that the lead character's name is the kid? Like, you don't get a name. He's the kid.
But they're not characters, right? It's like you wanted to write a comedy, but you skipped writing the jokes.
All right. Well, let's move into the category that might have a rough go of it this time, called More Heart Than Budget.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes. Stan.
I don't think I noticed any heart, and I don't know that they obviously they blew all their budget on the actors in the movie. I feel, and I don't know what kind of movie they were trying to shoot. I feel like they had this idea that it's just like, oh, we're gonna get all these like name actors in here. We're gonna make this like combination of every single sports movie that we can find, and we're gonna make it fun, and it's gonna be silly and over the top. And it's a complete epic fail on almost all counts in that regard. I'm going to give it a one.
Yeah, I'm going with one for the one guy who obviously really wanted to make a movie. There was one guy really interested in what was going on. He probably put up the money, actually, to tell you the truth. Maybe he has a producer credit. And whatever happened, they just threw like a little bit of money toward. Because this movie seems to have been finished. So, because, you know, if somebody wasn't pushing for this, it would not never like been finished. At so many points, they should have just gone, you know what, this isn't working, and walked away. But there was one guy that I'm
giving it 3 or 4 times. I'm not convinced that they didn't go, huh, fuck it. like 3 or 4 times. Oh. Like, seriously. Oh, man. I'm going to go higher. I mean, I'm going to go 5 because I actually really think that they thought when they're filming this, they're like, this will be just as good as, you know, as the other films of its type that they're making.
They were making Rudy or something.
Yeah. No. I know what they were making, but they're not thinking that this is any worse, or that it's going to do any worse in the box. Like, thing is, you have to understand, really shitty movies were making like $10-20 million at that period of time of this type. Worse movies than this, because when I was watching this, it was on YouTube, and I wasn't really paying attention. It rolled over into the next movie, Weekend Pass. Fucking 50 times worse than this. And it's a movie about sailors on a weekend pass that's just them going to a strip club and then getting into a fight with street gangs, but it's supposed to be a comedy, and it's like a $20 million this thing made. I'm like, you have to understand, I think they thought that this was just as good as, that this was par for the course, and that they thought that they were doing all right. So I'm going to give it a 5. I think they thought that.
That's right. Well, I'm only gonna give this a 1, but I'm gonna give Weekend Pass a 3. Fuck you, because just from that pitch, I think they got a lot happening.
You have no idea how bad that movie is. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't watch the whole thing. I did.
Again, just a 1, but I don't know if in your nerd alert you were gonna cover the director of this film.
Yeah, it's directed by the same man who directed Big Bad Mama.
Ooh.
He did quite an interesting variety of films. He did a movie called Arena, which is a Pam Grier women gladiator movie,
which we have to
immediately. We've got to make that one happen. He did a construction movie with Lee Majors.
Yeah,
about a guy doing high steel work.
Oh, and he probably did Chuck Norris's best film in Lone Wolf McQuade with David Carradine.
Yeah, Lone Wolf McQuade and Eye for an Eye, two of the movies that really made Chuck Norris. And only a couple after this. So
yeah, well, I wonder why.
So, but he wasn't the problem. Really. Like, when
He wasn't the solution.
No. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, watching the tennis is only slightly more interesting than watching paint dry.
But I would say it is 100% accurate to actually watching tennis.
It's 100% accurate to watching tennis by really bad tennis players. So, yeah.
Why on earth does anybody in the world want to make a tennis movie when they've never seen a game of tennis? I don't fucking understand.
All right. Well, that's a great question to bring to our next category, which are called the what the fuck moments. The moments that not only do we question how they got in this movie, how did they get in a movie? Stan, what do you got?
Well, I mean, we got to talk about it right now, the elephant in the jock. And it is absolutely when the bad tennis team goes to blackmail the kid. And so they have one of their groupies, girlfriends, go and place a bet on the bad guy team in his name. And then they're like, oh, here's your receipt. This is going to get you kicked out unless you throw the match. But if you throw the game, it's okay because we'll give you half the money. And it's just like, okay, I'm seeing that. But if you don't, then we're gonna show everybody and you're going to be, you know, screwed. I'm not, you know, and then, of course, he decides he's good. He starts throwing it. But then by the time they get to the doubles tennis, then he decides that he's not throwing it. But of course, at the end of it, they win and nothing happens. It's like the bad guy team forgets that they have this, you know, trump card here that they're trying to hold over him. And it's just like, how could you do this? It's like, well, I don't care.
Dude,
about the
money. You are way underselling this. You're forgetting, okay? They walk up to him and they give him this thing like, hey, you just bet on the thing. And he goes, well, I'm a college player. You can't bet on yourselves. You can't place bets. That's illegal, which it is. You'll lose your scholarship and the school, get kicked out of that, all this stuff. But how the fuck do they place it in his name? This girl just walked up and said, hey, I'm the kid. And no idea or whatever. Like, couldn't he just turn around and bet $10 on those guys? And of the exact same. All you have to do is just walk. Why isn't every single star college player being just bet on by the other team and by their fans all the time? Like, because apparently it's just that easy. But that is that it comes after a scene in the previous day in the first round where the players are playing on the court, and one of the players on his team is not doing well. So he decides he's going to beat the other guy by walking over to him, taking out a $100 bill and going, hey, or a $20 bill or whatever, and going, hey, do you want to bet for this? And then they put it on the bench and sits there in front of everybody. He does this and puts it on the bench.
But he did that. That was his shtick. Every one of them has a shtick, and that was his. That was Texas shtick.
Texas shtick is that he gets the guy to bet, and the guy's like, "Holy fuck, I can't concentrate anymore." Just loses.
All you have to do is show somebody, is show the other tennis player something else. Hey, look at that chick off in the stands. Whoa, boobies.
This is on the court. And then they come up and bet for the kid, and he goes, hey, I'm a tennis player. You can't bet. There's a whole 5-minute scene.
And then don't forget that there's that part where his friend discovers the receipt, and he's like, what did you do? And he's like, nothing, man. You know, it's like, I'm not going to talk about it. And it's just like,
he's just like, he doesn't want to say it wasn't me. He's just like, yeah,
it's done.
And shit happens. Don't bring every piece of, trash you find into my office.
This is the worst fucking plot. It's the most major plot point out of that they have to win. in the whole movie. It's the worst thing ever.
It's also
bad on so many levels.
You also have to understand, though, that the bad guy team. Okay, so if every one of the tennis players has their own shtick. Okay, so the one guy decides that every match he's going to act gay and freak out the other side. Of course, Tex has his betting. You've got the one Spanish Ogre character, Mexican.
Yeah, Ogre intimidates, or not intimidates. Ogre, Ripper intimidates people by yelling at things.
Yes.
And hitting the ball really hard at them. Yes. When the guy just moved out of the way, it would go out of bounds and they'd score the point. But no, they just sit there and get hit with the ball. Fuck, he hits it hard.
And don't forget the Mexican who does random running around and stuff like that.
The guy who's straight but pretends to play gay is literally that throws the guy off. So the guy I can't beat a gay guy, not in tennis.
But it's when the bad guy team decides that to beat them, they just happen to have an entire team of exact analogs of those characters that they can play with.
This ties into my most WTF moment. Is that the good guy team cheats just like the bad guy team, only the bad guy team does it better. I mean, everything the bad guy team does, the good guy team usually does first. I mean, you could argue the whole bet angle didn't really pan out for them all that well. But then you look at the good guy team, they did the whole blackmail thing with the coach. These are both, all these people are awful. Yes. And at the end, I was cheering for the bad guy team, which is not what I should be doing.
I loved it, though, because every time the good guy team did something bad or something like that that resulted in something good for them, they just cut to the same shot of Richard Roundtree off to the side laughing, like, oh, kids will be kids.
I know! It's amazing! He tells them, you have a curfew, midnight. They're playing at 9 a.m. the next day. Then they go out and get fucking ripped, like, and show up just hammered and out of, and he's like, well, you guys blew it. Then they win the game, and he spends the whole time just going, I knew it'd be all right. Like, it makes no sense.
Like, oh, you kids, you crazy There's kids. No-
for their bad actions ever.
Well, so in other words, they're typical men in these movies.
True.
Because I'm willing to bet that Mariska Hargitay, if she had any role whatsoever in the movie, if she did something bad, then she would have comeuppance. But as it stands, she has no actual role in the movie other than show up.
Well, they wanted her to do a nude scene, but she said, I negotiated a little, they negotiated a little, because I don't do nudity, so she doesn't do nudity. Doesn't sound like they negotiated at all.
Well, actually, no, maybe they did. They negotiated her right out of the movie. She's not really in it.
she could appear nude, or her character could be at all likable. And that was... Oh, man. So... All right. Well, Stan, pick a number.
I'm going to go with 8 because it's nuts.
Nick.
Yeah, I'm going with 8. There's so much that I was actually hoping you guys would explain a couple scenes to me.
How'd we do?
Not really great. The one I really need. When the little Latino fellow picks up the two women and they all run into the hotel room to have sex with them, I found that a little strange. I didn't understand the blackmail plot at all because...
Well, that's because it didn't make any sense. So no, how could you? Because
I didn't know who they were going to send the pictures to.
Well, I would assume that... The college tennis council, or the dean.
Yeah, I think we haven't. I think for the listeners who haven't seen this movie, which is hopefully all of them, explain what we're talking about with the blackmail plot, because I forgot about this.
I thought we just did. That's what I was talking about earlier.
So the coach is going to throw it, the head of athletics is going to throw them all out of school because they were partying after hours and everything, and just being rambunctious. And
yes, degenerates.
Out of the money that kind of keeps magically appearing throughout the movie, they hire three prostitutes. Maybe they're just friends of theirs. I mean, we don't know they're prostitutes.
No. They were totally prostitutes.
Okay, so they get three prostitutes.
The kid won 3,000 or turned 3,000 into like 10,000. So
they bring these girls to the athletic director's door, where they say my favorite line in the whole movie. They knock on the door. He opens it, and one of the girls says, "Mind if we party with you?" To which he says, "Okay, sure." this all seems like something that happens.
But then he comes out of the room and just checks to make sure that it's just like, are you sure?
Make sure it's on the up. And then so he brings them in. They have some fun. One of the girls takes many, many photos, which he questions not at all. And then the next day, they have photos that they've gone. I love that they have to explain that there's an all night one hour photo lab so that they can get these photos, which I thought was just quaint. and so they show him the photos. I'm like, we're going to blackmail you, so you can't throw us out of school now.
but this is also a big part of their plan. It's just like, oh yeah, well I'll tell you what, we'll give you the negatives after the tournament's over.
That's right. Richard Roundtree's in on it. He has the negatives. He's holding
But it's just like, well, of course, at the end of the tournament, it's like, well, you're fired.
Yeah, they fired him anyways.
Yeah.
His team wins and they fire him anyways.
It was not a good plan. Now, I mean, they did have a backup plan for that, so it all wound up working for them.
Plans within plans for these guys.
Oh yeah. I just don't know why they didn't just say, no, we're fucking keeping the negatives. Piss off.
You guys really didn't make that make any more sense.
No, I'm still wondering what happened.
I was also confused about the bar. The lesbian bar? What the hell was that bar that the bad guys tricked the good guys to go to?
The biker bar.
Yeah, they tricked the good guys into going to there because,
because reasons.
Because so that they won't play well.
Two more minutes in the movie.
Because something had to happen.
Look, of all the problems in this movie.
Yeah, that's not.
No, didn't sell it to me that it was even a biker bar. I thought it was a lesbian bar, and then they picked up a
biker bar.
Yeah, okay, but then the whole prostitute angle didn't. I was just confused by it.
Wait a second. Hold on. I told you. I will not hear it that there's plot holes.
Yes. So who's next to give their score? Is it Jack?
Jack has.
Oh, I have not given a score. I'm going high at 8. I mean,
you said 8.
Yeah,
you said 8. Jack, and I want to, it's not quite a 9, but it's a higher than an 8. I want to give an 8.5, but I can't, so I'm gonna stick with an 8. But there's so many. I love the very beginning. They have the athletic director, and you know, after he has a scene with Christopher Lee's office telling him that he's got to win. Then he calls in the coach, Chip something, that Richard Roundtree plays. Chip Williams, I think is the name. And they call him into his office to tell him, you know, you got to win or else. And Richard Roundtree's character, Chip, he goes, yeah, but you haven't won anything. We're winning, but you haven't won anything since I got here. I think talking about, like, the football team hasn't won. And meanwhile, they're sitting there in this office about the size of a coffee table. Fucking... loaded with trophies. I mean, they're hanging up and down. They're almost falling on top of them. Trophies everywhere that this guy has, but you haven't won anything. You know? That to me is a what the fuck.
They won a lot up until this guy took over in...
Then why are they in his office? Why aren't they displayed for the school?
Well, like... because in Christopher Lee's office, there's a shit ton of trophies there too. He ran out of space for all the fucking trophies.
When you display them so the people in the hallways, the students, could see the trophies.
Christopher Lee is not about that.
We're not talking one trophy in the athletic director's office. We're talking like 500 trophies. I mean, they're trophy on trophy on trophy, but this guy's never won anything.
That is set deck. Set deck.
I just assume they played bridge on the weekends. Those are all bridge trophies.
Man, I'm surprised that that Christopher Lee's character didn't bring that up in his opening speech of like, well, this trophy we won for bridge. Trophies that are surrounding you that other... And this trophy we won for bowling and...
This is a pretty good trophy. That's not bad.
This trophy we won for fantasy football.
They just purchased them. It turns out that buying trophies really cheap compared to actually winning them.
Yeah, super easy.
Here's my second one, and because I got to leave some for you there, Jim. I'm sure there's still some left. So many in this movie. I like this one. Nicole, the character that is played by what do you call it again? Mariska
Hargitay.
Yeah, it's a tough name to say. Why didn't she just go with Mansfield? the evil character Chris and Tony, they're talking and like they're scouting the team, right? And the night before, Mariska Hargitay, she finds Nicole. She finds the kid. When he's trying to get a Pepsi, and she teaches him how to get a Pepsi by kicking the machine, then it gets a Pepsi, it comes out, and then she's like, "Oh, I scout tennis," and he's like, "Hey, oh, that's good." And then they go away, and they have like a 2-minute interaction. So the next time we see them, you see the team, Chris, the evil character Chris, and he's talking to this, telling everybody, "Hey, this kid guy's pretty good. When he's on, he can't lose." So then the kid runs up to Nicole afterwards. And he goes, and he's like, "Hey, what, you want to do something?" She's like, "Yeah, you should get together later." And he's like, "Well, what about you and Chris?" I'm like, "When the fuck did that ever come up?" The night before.
Well, they had already met. Like, everybody had already met.
No, he never met Nicole before. That was when they met for the first time. That was the whole point of the scene. She's sitting there introducing herself, gives her name, and tells him that she scouts, and he's like, "Oh, okay." And then later he's like, "Hey, what about you and Chris?" And she's like, "Well, you know, when I came down, I've come down here not to hang out with him. That's been over for a long time." She's given all this backstory that never, like, why? What? Fuck.
I'm sure it's in the deleted scenes.
They must have deleted a lot of scenes.
Yeah, they deleted the plot.
So, yeah, a solid 8 for WTFs.
All right, Jim.
All right, well, I'm going to go a little more reserved. I'm going to break the line of 8 and only go as 7. When you said the elephant in the room, I thought you were going a totally different direction. Oh. Because there was something else in this movie. So one of the characters is trying to pick someone up in a bar, and discovers that it is one of the most 70s and 80s characters that you can get.
Well,
it is the predatory transvestite who keeps it a secret until the hand moves up the thigh too far. That'll get you a think piece if someone were to come across this movie. And then this happens again with the athletic director, who for a second time, same individual tries to pick her up at a bar.
But you see, this is comedy, Jim.
And that's
the
right.
First time, we don't know that it's a man, even though it's clearly a man. And then we find out. So now we know that it's a man that the athletic director is putting his hands up the skirt of.
That's right, and that's why it's hilarious when it happens a third time. With Christopher Lee. That's the rule of threes.
That is absolutely correct.
they were really sticking with it.
I really thought that was going to come up again, especially when the blackmail stuff started.
Yeah, dude, you totally could have used that. Wouldn't that have been a billion times better?
All right, well, we're on to memorable moments. The moment you will take away from this movie as your fond memory of having explored it through this show. Stan?
Well, now this is in this case where I get a chance to use some of those lines that I've that I picked up. Now, one of them I accidentally blew last week, but that doesn't mean I can't say it all over again. You call that a chest? Well, actually, I call it a place to hang my nipples. it's a great line, but so I traded my rackets for a couple of six packs. Can't drink rackets. And then finally,
that's a good line.
Finally, the one line that absolutely stood out to me, because wow, I'm drunker than 100 Indians.
Classy.
Yep. You know, just
wow.
Let's crank up the racism movie, just a little bit.
Yeah, this movie already has with the Mexican character and the gay. Because keep in mind that the guy who pretends to be gay to beat his opponents, that's on the good team, finally loses because the other side has an actual gay person who's not falling for his games.
Oh, I'm not sure that that other person was actually gay, but I suppose it's possible.
No, but... I don't know. I think he was. Who knows? It was like a battle to be who was most stereotypical offensive gay.
Yes. Yes. There's no doubt about that. Like, the only thing that I'm going to really remember, I mean, there's so much, but one thing that I'm really going to take away from this movie is the complete lack of plot holes. Wink, wink. So I'm afraid I'm only going to give it a 4.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go with a 5 just because I think the stereotype, tennis players, not that they're stereotype tennis players, but they're stereotypes who play tennis, are going to stick with me, and then I'm going to remember a plot hole, and then I'm going to go back and rewatch this film.
Don't do that.
So it's I there's no way the Nick from 3 months ago is going to remember not enjoying this film. He's just going to remember the what happened in that scene emotion and go back and check what the hell went on and be confused by this all over again. That it's not a forgettable film. It's not like it was, what's that film I forgot from the first season?
Shoot Fighter.
That's the one I forgot.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I wrote it down. You know, ten, in case I forgot
idea.
It.
Good idea. All right.
Jack, do you have a number here for this one?
Yeah. Memorable moments. I forget. Is our lowest a 1 or 0? What's our lowest score that we're allowed
to
give?
I think we've given a 0.
I think 0 is fair. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I will give it a 1 then, because there is the moment, like I say, of Ripper Donald Gibb chasing the old women away for dimes. To me, that's hilarious, and that was moments memorable. And there is the other moment where he takes, I believe, as a tennis ball, and he crushes it, kind of similar to what Ninja 3: The Domination. She crushes a ball, and it, like, all this powder comes out, and it makes no sense. And it's because it's Donald Gibb. It's awesome. But like this film for me, as like this is a forgettable film for iconic, memorable stuff, pop culture stuff. I just don't see it.
Well, I sat down tonight ready to talk about Raw Force. So I had actually forgotten what movie we were going to talk about. So I am going to go with a 0 on this. I'm stepping all over your nerd alert, but can I do one more?
Oh, please.
All right. So Chris, the evil tennis player, was one of the only, it was the only movie role of a guy named Tom Shadyac. Those who might recognize the name, it's not for his acting work. He became a director after this and directed Ace Ventura, Nutty Professor, Patch Adams, and Bruce Almighty.
Ah, yes, that's where I knew the name. I knew the name, but I was just like, what is it? What is it from?
And a really interesting documentary called I Am. Talk about, or, you know, the last season we had the modifier of the early work by someone in this film. This is the movie that put Tom Shadyac off of acting and put him onto a path to become a very, very successful director.
Fantastic.
All right. This one's a toss up. Crazy Concept.
Oh yeah, Crazy Concept. Because when I think about this as a whole, it's just a whole bunch of random sports cliches, teen movie cliches, just thrown together. The fact that they threw them all together and thought that tennis was the right way to sell the movie, that's where it absolutely goes kind of sideways for me. And so I think, based on the fact that they decided tennis, I'm going to go with a 4.
Wow. I'm not going to go that high. I'm going with a 3. This isn't that crazy. Sure, the tennis tennis isn't your first sell. But considering the movies coming out at the time in this genre, it's not that outrageous. I think somebody thought they were going to make some money with it, and maybe they even did. I think it's execution this movie fails, not in the core concept.
Jack,
did he give it a score?
He gave it a 3.
Oh, 3. Okay, so I'm giving it a 2 because, I mean, it is. There's not much original here. Everything that's original is, and I know tennis was more popular, but everything that's original is the fact that it's tennis. It's such an odd decision to make about tennis. If you had taken a different sport and made this same movie, if this same movie with these same characters was about almost any other sport, it would have been even more generic. And you know, tennis is the only thing that saves it.
Ping pong would have worked.
it would have been faster.
Yeah. they did that movie later.
I'm going to say all of the things you just said, but I think tennis is really wacky. So I'm going to be very generous and give it a 5 based on everything you just said, but I'm scoring it higher. All right. So that brings us to the end of scoring. And as always, we have our secret modifiers. And this week, this episode, this movie has none of them apply. I think for the first time, none of the secret modifiers apply. So the score is the score. And Jox gets a 37 out of 100. Making it the lowest scoring movie we have covered so far.
That's 50 points less than the all-time leader, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed. I think 57 and a half.
Wow.
50 and a half, something like that.
Wow. What's out of curiosity, I can't remember. What was the score for Nerds?
Nerds was a 58.
So, yeah, it's way behind. That's okay. We have some good ones to come this season. And I know for a fact that this podcast is way more entertaining than movies. So you're welcome, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Sure. This was up on YouTube when we found it. And that is about the amount of investment you should put in. But watch this in the corner of your screen at work. you there's almost no chance of you being caught looking at boobs.
Yes.
Almost none.
It's got about 30 seconds of screen time.
Yeah, and it's fairly dark, so you could even convince somebody that was just a smudge on your screen. Pretty
well,
much.
you could just tell them that it's not breasts; it's just a place to hang their nipples.
that's right. It's for hanging your shirt on. But yes, but I do believe we will do better with our next movie coming up, which I'm happy to say is Preppies. Carrying on our title for the season. So this one, Preppies, was produced for the Playboy Channel, so that automatically, I would think, sets us up for better luck in the boobies department. But, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Jim, why don't you tell the fans how to hit us up on the internet?
But Preppies is out there if people search it. I'm sure they can find it. I'm sure somebody has uploaded it somewhere just so people can follow along. Maybe even Brad. I think Brad might be the person who has uploaded it out there to the public somewhere so that people can see this movie and follow along, because it was difficult to find until, just very recently.
Well, see, Brad's coming through for us then.
About time he pulled his weight.
All right. So, Jim.
All right. We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and tag us with your favorite B-movies using the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And we're posting some fun stuff, and tell us what you think of the show so far. We're really loving doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're having a lot more fun than everybody else, let's be honest. But season 2 carries on nerds, jocks, and preppies. And we will return with preppies really soon. So for Jim, for Nick, for Jack, and of course, for Brad, thanks again for posting preppies, my main man. I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!